Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Now, here's some good news about kids and technology. Apparently selfies, GIFs, memes and emoji can empower kids' language development. Classroom research involving more than 200 primary school students across three low SES schools in Queensland, that's socioeconomic status schools in Queensland, has used smartphones, animation, photography and videos to rapidly increase the students' use and command of the English language. And you might say that that's what literacy is. Absolutely. Strong literacy skills are associated with stronger employment opportunities, of course, better wages outcomes, social participation, health outcomes, including mental health, and also longevity. The research is called the Selfie Project. It's led by the Australian Catholic University's Professor Kathy Mills. Welcome to Open House.
The Selfie Project stands for Strengthening Effective Language of Feelings in Education.
Now, just a moment. I have to stop there and say, how hard did you have to work to make an acronym that spelled out Selfie?
That was a bit of work. We went through a few different ones. But also, the kids were taking actual selfies on the project. Big picture industries coming in. And he's a professional media artist and taught the kids how to construct great images. Yeah. So he had professional lighting equipment and ring lights, and the kids loved it. And we talked about different types of emotions and how you can depict that through their body language.
Now, I did stop you. You were talking about why it was that feelings was one of the important words in your acronym there.
Yes. So emotions, we switched the word feelings and emotions around. So Basically it's about feelings. But actually, you know, the project even went deeper than that, than just emotions, because it dealt with the whole interpersonal system of language. Is this too much for your listeners?
They're really quite intelligent.
Okay, great. Okay, this is not grade 7, okay? This is above. So tune in. Think really hard now.
You've been working with kids too long, haven't you?
The whole interpersonal system of language has affect, which is your emotions. It also has judgments about people, and it also has appreciation of things like books and music and toys and whatever. Mm. And so when we express opinions in language, we draw on all three repertoires of language. Mm. So the project covered all of those, but we kind of focus on the affect because that's the kind of really interesting part for people and a bit of a hook to get people into wanting to hear about the study.
I'm reflecting the idea that, especially in early childhood education, one of the things that's going on there is that you're trying to get kids to be in touch with all of those aspects of their internal processing. Yes. And if they don't have a language, you do end up, don't you, with the very real possibility that later on these kids become withdrawn, they become the sort of adults that don't form relationships well, that don't communicate in other areas of their life. It has a link, doesn't it, with their mental health?
Definitely. So the ability to express emotions, attitudes and judgments is a large and important grammatical system in language, and ability in these areas is associated with higher academic achievement. And not just that, important things like well-being and long-term social health. And of course, things like employment opportunities, knowing how to present themselves in an interview and knowing how to express themselves in appropriate ways and express their feelings in appropriate ways for different social contexts. Mm. So, it's vitally important.
Now, what a gift that we have. I'm putting this in very positive terms. What a gift that we have, a visual layer of media now and very accessible, that allows kids to develop this language of emotions, of attitudes, of judgment, if you like, the things you've focused on. Whereas in the past, it's great sitting down and reading Charles Dickens, but, you know, quite frankly, it's probably a little easier for kids today to take a selfie.
Yes, they have a lot more, a lot wider range of modes to communicate through.
Yeah.
They have visual modes, they've got gestural, audio modes, and as well as the written mode. And the written mode is still really important, but now we're using the written mode with those other modes. So we call text multimodal, basically many modes. And so the text that we're working with have their own grammar, like the visual image has its own grammar. When we did the project, we really made strong connections with a lot of visual imagery with the kids. So we did things like we had lots of emojis and pictures of faces. We did drama of different body languages and linked that back to books as well. So when they develop characters in their writing or read about characters, we look at things like what emotions are the characters feeling? What judgments are they making? And how are we including those things in our writing? When they write something like a digital comic, they might make use a range of images, facial expressions, and words all together. And using those systems together is really important and very powerful for communication.
Now, can you give us an insight into the world of the grammar, grammar and syntax, if you like, of using emojis? Because I suspect not a lot of people have thought about that, but any language system comes with its own set of understood rules. So talk about the grammar of emojis.
Yes. All right. Well, I mean, with emojis, there's actually a lot of different emojis, and they're quite subtle and they have nuanced meanings. And we can almost map them back to words that we use as well. So, for example, when we have one emotion, for example, say being scared, that has a whole range of different levels of intensity. So we could say that you are uneasy or disquieted in the sort of low end. And then in the middle, you might be a little bit anxious, getting a bit higher, frightened. And then at the much higher end, you might be petrified or terrorized. And so this, what we call a cline of emotions, is a big repertoire, and you can do that linguistically, but you can also link that to emojis as well, so that when you're trying to express a particular emotion, you've got the right level or intensity of that emotion, and that gives a more accurate picture of how you're feeling or how a character's feeling.
It might be tempting to judge that language and say, well, pictures will never replace words, but anything that assists relationship is going to be good for human beings, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. And I think, too, like, it's about, for kids, connecting to things that do inspire them and engage them. And we found that using lots of visual imagery with the kids, including things like Pixar animation clips and things from the media, even just really small pieces, and then drawing attention to how emotions are conveyed in those animations is really interesting, because animations exaggerate feelings. Mm. And that's a very clear way to show children, you know, once they could see that, then the words make a whole lot more sense. Mm. Instead of just teaching them about, you know, I feel, you know, disheartened or dumbfounded or, you know, all these complex words. So by giving them something, a hook for them, yes, the visual was very, very powerful.
Are we now seeing the progression of digital media and other forms of language, equally valid, if you like, to the written English or whatever, that may start to exclude older people from conversations, from communication, from talking to their grandkids?
I think the grandparents are doing a great job at the moment. I see grandparents everywhere doing things with their grandkids, like text messaging,
yes,
or sitting with them on their iPad, and they just watch the kids and let the kids tell them things and show them things. And I guess we're all living in the digital world together, so we're all constantly trying to learn new skills to pick up with, you know, to be able to relate to everybody across all the generations. I think everybody is continually learning new things and new gadgets, and that's really important, is to, you know, play with kids, that, you know, your grandkids or your own kids, and look at what they're doing, and when they play video games or when they're, you know, using apps and things on their iPads.
What a
and
great
it's really
answer.
Great, yes, way to build relationships as,
yes,
well.
Yes, what a great answer. Technology can divide us if we let it, but we shouldn't either condemn it or be afraid of it. It seems to me it just is. And if we do what you're doing, and then we've actually, what you're suggesting, we get together and play together, learn new things from each other, then we've enhanced relationship. Now, look, just finally, on this other issue of the reading wars,
some research
conducted at Macquarie University recently, you know, put down the glasses, there's no such thing as a reading war anymore. I may be paraphrasing just a little bit, but they're saying that, look, it's not phonics or whole word recognition. It's kind of a bit of both. What would you say, indeed, drawing on your own research about emojis and graphic language, what would you say about that?
Okay, well, the reading wars have been going on for quite some time. They began in the 80s, actually, and then into the 90s. And we know that there are several different what we call cueing systems in language. So when kids learn to read, they can use or should be using the phonological system. So we have 44 speech sounds in English and 26 letters. And, of course, there's not a one-to-one correspondence with those. So we don't have a purely phonetic language because there are lots of different ways to combine the letters and the sounds. But there is some there's a reasonable amount of predictability so that it's very helpful to know those predictable patterns, the phoneme, grapheme correspondences, and as well the related spelling rules, which is important for both spelling and reading. So that's one system. And then we also have syntax and semantic systems. This is getting complex now. So syntax is basically what we call grammar, so the structure and the organisation of words in a sentence. So when we read, we kind of predict what's coming up next.
There was a little period there where some people were suggesting we didn't need phonics anymore. We ought to be able to teach kids that they could take the words from the meaning of the text around them. And in fact, you started having sight word recognition becoming the big thing. And for some reason, I still fail to understand, those people started to... There was a period where we started banning a phonics-based approach in schools. So where are we placed now is the question.
Yes, so that system is the semantic system of language. So that's the meaning. So people would say that we can predict from the context of the sentence and so on. And that's
it just didn't work for a lot of kids, you know?
Yes, so basically because that's just one cueing system. Mm. So basically it's like showing them one part of language but not the other parts teaching them to rely on those systems or those strategies for their reading instead of saying, here's all the knowledge on the phonics, here's all the knowledge on the syntax, here's all the knowledge on the meaning of language, and let's practice bringing in each of these systems and showing kids how to draw on the right system or on multiple systems as they read. So for example, the whole sight word thing with whole words is important because a lot of the words that we read and write are not in a simple, like they're not decoded easily if they're irregular words. And so when we have them on a flashcard and we memorise what they look like, that can be a very quick way of building up a rapid sight word vocabulary.
Yes.
But if we just rely on that, then you'd have to do a lot of sight cards of every single word in English. And so we need phonics and we need sight words, and that's the bottom line basically to bring both of those together. It's a simple answer, really.
Well, it's a great answer. It's a very straightforward, common sense answer, which could have saved some of us a lot of pain in the 1990s.
That's right, but I think you'll find a lot of teachers were actually teaching phonics all the way along.
Oh, sorry, yes, they were secretly.
All the wars that were going on in the media. Yes, teachers were like, well, I'm not throwing out my phonics instruction,
exactly.
Thank you. And it has been going along quite happily. But in the current national curriculum, English, it does have a really strong emphasis on phonics and those other systems as well. And so it's a very strong curriculum, and it provides a great guideline for teachers.
And now, hopefully, because of your work, there'll also be other languages recognised, like graphic languages.
Well, they're already in the curriculum too.
Yes,
because the word multimodal, which means many modes, that's in the curriculum over 200 times.
Mm.
So Australia's actually cutting edge on this compared to other
countries. I love that you've
countered
it.
Yeah, Australia is ahead of the pack when it comes to our national curriculum, because over in the United States, for example, they don't have the word multimodal, and the only thing digital in their English program is talking about word processing of story writing.
That's right.
So we have people contacting me from all around the world, in Asia and so on, asking about our curriculum so that they can take note of our curriculum and put similar things in their curriculum. It's actually a strong curriculum. And we don't hear much about that in the media, actually.
Well, we've just given it a good crack. So
well, that's good.
Thank you. Kathy, it's been delightful speaking with you. Thanks so much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Kathy Mills, Professor Kathy Mills of Australian Catholic University. And her project was called Selfie, a Strengthening Effective Language of Feelings in Education. That's a very modern view of what literacy is, to say that it now includes emojis and selfies and all those kinds of graphic languages. But it is true that we're becoming a far more graphic generation. And it's also true to say that if you learn any language, including graphic language, and you learn about its underlying rules, its grammar, its syntax, that it does help you to develop in other forms of literacy. So actually learning that can help you learn the language of English, the written language of English.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.